The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
We welcome you back. We'll update you on all the scores in a couple of minutes. And also, we are switching some things around. Nate Oates will join us at the bottom of the hour. And the person that was going to be on at that point is now going to be on now. And this man can be on any time, any day. He is the ultimate. Stephen M. Smith. Don't confuse him with his cousin that moonlights on ESPN. Stephen M., good afternoon. It's great to have you back.
Good to be back, Paul. Now, I wouldn't mind having Stephen A. as a relative, but not a relative.
we would all like to collect his paycheck every week, but
absolutely.
And Stephen M., I think one day you could be in that position, as talented as you are. Let's talk about your favorite subject, Bama. Returns to the practice field. It seems like forever. It's only been since the early part of January. So give us the lowdown. What does it look like in T-Town?
Well, right now, Paul, there's a buzz of excitement as Alabama getting back into spring practice, finishing up the off-season fourth quarter program, and a lot of position battles that we're looking forward to. The main one is definitely a quarterback. You got three guys that have a lot of talent. Bryce Young, the fan favorite to possibly get this job at quarterback. But then Paul Tyson right there, a young man that has a lot to prove and a lot to show coming into this the spring practice schedule. You know, he's got big size, 6'5", 230 pounds plus, a big arm, is in his third year of experience on the roster. And then behind those two, you got Jamin Milroe, a four-star coming in from Texas, who's got some dual threat ability, who had a good offseason program himself. So three quarterbacks that are fighting for number one job. Nick Saban always likes to say, which one can win the team, which one can take the bull by the horns and have that consistency in terms of production. So the quarterback battle is going to be fun. On the offensive line, you lose three guys to the NFL draft, and Alex Netherwood, Landon Dickerson, and Deontay Brown. But you return three guys in Chris Owens, Emil Ekior, and Evan Neal. But who plays in the other two spots? Going to be a battle there at left guard and at right tackle. Now, Tommy Brown and Kendall Randolph will start off in those spots. Tommy Brown at left guard, Kendall Randolph at right tackle. But can they hold those two spots, especially with the talented freshmen coming in of the Brockemeyer boys, Tommy and James Brockemeyer, J.C. Latham out of Florida, a lot of talent there on that offensive line. And then, of course, third, you look at defensive tackle. D.J. Dale is really good, but you got a T.M. Smith coming in as a sophomore out of Florida. He played some big production minutes a season ago on the field, and he had a great offseason program. Can T.M. Smith, you know, offset, you know, D.J. Dale on a starting spot there at the nose guard? But, of course, middle linebacker, and in that defensive secondary as well. A lot of position battles, Paul, to sort through here, but what better time to sort through them than spring football?
No doubt. Let's start with the most obvious, and you mentioned Paul Tyson, and a lot of people assumed last year that Bryce Young would be the starter. Little did we know he'd have a Heisman finalist at the starting position. But break this one down for us, because by all accounts, this should not be close, should it?
By all accounts, Bryce Young, when you post the fans, you know, Young is the guy that they really want to see start, but it's going to be a battle. It's going to be close. It is going to be a battle. Paul Tyson has put in a ton of work in the offseason, and not just in the fourth quarter program, but he has hooked up with a quarterback coach out of Seattle, Washington, Nevel Durant, and according to him and my conversations with Durant, Paul can make all the throws on the field. He has the velocity on the football, the touch on the football. He can rip it 80 yards. He can guide the receivers with pinpoint accuracy. The footwork on Paul Tyson has gotten a whole lot lot better. So this is not going to be a blowaway by Bryce Young by any means of the imagination. This is going to be a fierce, fierce battle to the end, Paul. And it's going to start here, not only in spring, but the A-Day game. This may be one of the most highly anticipated spring games in the Nick Saban era in quite some time, because we're really going to see what this future is for real between Bryce and Paul. Now, Jamin Milrow, the freshman from Texas, he's going to do his own bit of kicking, but if we pull Milrow out of the conversation just for right now and we focus on Bryce and Paul Tyson, both of these two bring dynamics to the table, but it will not be a blowaway. Paul has a lot to bring here to the table.
Stephen M., is it more deficiency coming from Bryce Young, or is it just Paul Tyson is trying to replicate his great-grandfather and just turn the whole state upside down?
I think it's more so of the latter, Paul, because people forget Tyson was a four-star coming out of high school, a very polished pro-style quarterback, somebody that threw for more than 6,500 passing yards, 69 touchdowns, was 19-5 as a starter. And I got a chance to talk with Rudy Griffin a couple of days ago, and Coach Griffin, of whom he's the head coach of Bessemer City High School, but he was also the defensive coordinator at Hewitt-Trussville High School during, you know, Paul Tyson's time there. And Coach Griffin told me, look, this dude is a leader of men. He's got a Tom Brady meets Drew Brees type of leadership. He's got an incredible arm, got the strongest arm in college football in Rudy Griffin's estimation. And this is a guy in Tyson that led Hewitt-Trussville High School to one of its better records in school history. So I feel like this is more so of Paul wanting to prove to the fans, just because Paul Bear Bryant is my great-grandfather, and he is, I am bigger than just being a legacy guy. A lot of times, Paul, we see the legacy kids, they write off the name, they write off the family legacy there, and they don't really put in that work. Paul Tyson on the camera and Paul Tyson behind the scenes is putting in that work to show you, Bear Bryant's my great-grandfather, but I'm the real deal at the quarterback position. He had a ton of offers coming out of high school. He chose Bama to defend home and to defend Bama. So keep your eyes on Tyson here, Paul. This dude is on a mission, and he is set to make that mission a reality.
Stephen M. Smith with us from Touchdown, Alabama. Stephen M., if you're looking at this team, and everyone said the same thing about what they've lost, but if you had to pinpoint one area on this football team that would give you some reason for concern, where would it be?
A reason for concern is I would go toward the defensive secondary, and it's not concern as a bad thing in terms of talent, but the concern is how quickly can Saban get the best 5 to 6 guys on the field. That's where that concern is in the secondary, because Saban has stockpiled so many talented defensive backs, Paul, since 2017, but there are times where we forget all who's on the roster. And the question will be, how quickly can Saban get the best 5 to 6 guys on the field as starters in that defensive backfield? Now, luckily, he does return Jordan Battle, who's a phenomenal safety. He's back. And he does return Malachi Moore, who showed us as a starter, as a true freshman, he can handle his own at that nickel spot, at that star role in the nickel package. So you have those two guys. In terms of other guys on the team, this is where the battles will take place. There's going to be a battle at both corner spots. Josh Jobe is good, and he's got experience, but there were times where he was called for defensive holding, called for defensive pass interference. He had some rough patches there. Has he cleaned that up? Has he improved those? That will be the question. You lose Patrick Surtain II to the NFL draft. Who takes over the other cornerback spot? You've got some guys in Marcus Banks. You've also got Jalen Armour Davis, who's still there. among other talent, but who pulls that spot out? And also at that dime spot, at the money position, there's talent there with Brian Branch, with DeMarco Helms, with Brandon Turnage, and also who takes over the other safety role opposite Jordan Battle. So my thing for the secondary will be, Paul, who will be the 5 to 6 guys that consistently show Saban, I'm the real deal, I can be consistent, and I deserve to start here in this defensive secondary. I'm not a talent in that back five and that back group, but who can be the most consistent? That's the biggest question, Paul.
And finally, Stephen M., you know, there are it's everyone wants to compare year to year, but this Alabama team, the schedule manageable, it seems to me. How do you see this program once we find out who the quarterback is going to be navigating the fall?
It's going to be interesting here, Paul. Right off the bat, you take on a Miami team that's got a dual threat quarterback in De'Aaron King in its own right, and defensively, you know, can Alabama be able to slow him down and not allow him to make plays with his feet as well as his arm? You've got Ole Miss and Lane Kiffin. That was a high-scoring game a season ago. The final score 63-48, and if Lane Kiffin does not kick a field goal late in the fourth quarter, could the outcome have been different? So there's a lot of intriguing matchups on the schedule this fall, Paul. But I think once Alabama hits on the quarterback, it's got enough talent around that position offensively and then defensively. It's brought everybody back with the exception of Christian Barmore and Patrick Surtain. Of course, Dylan Moses gone also. But the majority of big playmakers, big production guys back on both sides of the ball. I think once it hits the quarterback, this team is going to be able to navigate the schedule and get back to the college football playoff. Very, very confident in this group. I know Saban has had to retool the coaching staff once again, but you bring in former NFL coaches like a Bill O'Brien, who is keen offensively. He's worked with Tom Brady. He's worked with Deshaun Watson. So Bill O'Brien knows quarterback. He knows offense. You got a Doug Marrone coaching this offensive line. He knows offensive line. He's done this 16 years throughout his career at college and, of course, in the NFL. When you look at, you know, the other coaches being brought in, Robert Gillespie, big-time running backs coach, played under Steve Spurrier in college at the University of Florida. Wherever he's been in, he's popped success. So Saban has retooled the coaching staff, but I feel like once it hits on this quarterback, Paul, this team will be able to navigate the schedule, be back in the college football playoff, and put Saban in position for the 8th national title.
Great to hear from you, Stephen M. Be well. Thank you very, very much for the time. We want to give a quick update here. There is a lot of basketball going on. We've already told you about Arkansas winning in Florida in overtime. There is another game in overtime right now, including involving the number 2 seed in the tournament, at least in its regional, a team that Florida will be facing here in a couple of days or may not be at all. We'll give you an update on the Oral Roberts Ohio State game. Tennessee off to a sluggish start. All of that when we come back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
And we welcome you back with some breaking news from the NCAA basketball tournament. An absolute shocker. Oral Roberts becomes only the eighth team in history as a 15 seed to beat a number two. The Big Ten goes down in this one. The Buckeyes with a poor attempt at a three to extend it to a second overtime. But Oral Roberts, that is right, Oral Roberts University in Tulsa prevails 75-72 and will take on Florida Sunday, an overtime winner earlier. Meanwhile, Tennessee trails by two touchdowns to Oregon State, 33-17. At nearly the half, Tennessee has played a absolutely woeful first half. Baylor is running away against Hartford, as everyone expected, and Loyola Chicago up 30-25 early in the second half. We mentioned the games earlier. Arkansas struggled but prevailed against Colgate. Florida down most of the game, wins in overtime. The two really somewhat surprising matchup, because Florida looked like it was out of the game against Virginia Tech. But certainly this is one of the biggest surprises in modern NCAA basketball history. Ohio State, which, you know, was a dominant team all year long, faded a little bit down the stretch, is gone. The football team lost in the national championship game by 28. Its basketball program has a rather early and ugly exit in March. We'll take more phone calls here at 855-242-7285. And Ted is up next. Hey, Ted, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Feinbaum. I take you back to the past, but one of my favorite radio programs was called The F Troop.
Oh, yeah.
With Fife, Forney, and Feinbaum. And I sure miss that. That was most enjoyable. I wondered if you had a Lollapalooza.
Yeah, it was. I tell you what, it was an honor for me. For those who don't remember the show, John Forney was the legendary voice of Alabama, and Jim Fife, equally the legendary voice of the Auburn Tigers. And we got together every week, and you know, half the time we never got to the Lollapalooza because we were too busy laughing and cutting up. I've never had more fun doing a show in my life. It was very successful for a couple of years, and then. I think I left the company that was producing it, but we would pick a winner at the end of the show, and I don't know, Ted, how often they were right, but it really didn't matter. We had a blast.
It was more, one of the most enjoyable programs I ever listened to. I had the good pleasure of working with Jim at WCOV Radio in Montgomery, and Pat Dye's second year at Auburn, he had me come up and work in the press box with he and Pat Sullivan doing stats. So. Those are fond memories. I enjoy your show. Alabama's had a great year this year. Very impressive. I have picked Gonzaga. Of course, that's a simple thing to do. I am curious as to who you think might sneak up besides the upset of today.
How about Oral Roberts? If I told you that, you know, that's the one thing that you just don't know in this tournament. And, you know, Ohio State was the ninth favorite, the ninth most bet favorite in Vegas. But I don't know many people who thought they were going to get to the Final Four in their regional. But they're in the Baylor regional. But still, you just don't expect these things to happen. But you've obviously been involved in sports a long time, Ted. What you start to see is a team, when things don't go well, the pressure starts to build. And I don't care who you are, you're still a 19 to 21-year-old player trying to deal with the suffocating heat of trying to hit a three-pointer to extend a game in the NCAA tournament. It's hard to do.
the pressure is awesome. You take Auburn in their first game back when they made it to the Final Four.
Oh, yeah.
That first game against, was it New Mexico State?
You're right, and that game, it took a remarkable finish. I mean, New Mexico State, I believe, had an opportunity at the end of the game to win it, and maybe
they
should have.
Did.
Yeah,
they surely did. It's fascinating. Listen, I really enjoy your show. I've just written a book about basketball.
Really?
And it's called oddly enough, it's called Football School: A Fan's Look at Auburn Basketball, and it's available now on the internet and so forth. But I think if you read it, you'd enjoy it.
Well, Ted, I will because I've been around Auburn basketball, as you know, a long time. Some of the most colorful characters.
You've been very fair about it too.
Sonny Smith was one of the great people I've ever covered. I had more fun being around him one season. I covered a lot of the. Hey, thanks for the call, Ted. I covered a lot of Barkley's first. Big breakout year down there on the road with them. So that was cool. Nate Oates will join us in a minute. We will continue our review of the NCAA basketball tournament, and I'm sure Nate Oates will be reminding his team about what just happened against Oral Roberts. Nate Oates will join us in just a moment.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Team seeded 15 are 9-132 in that position, but we saw it happen just moments ago. We'll talk to Nate Oates coming up here shortly. Let's get some reaction, and Tex is up next. Hello, Tex. Good afternoon.
Paul, how are you?
I'm well. Thank you for the call.
Got to ask. Everybody does. I just watched that Oral Roberts game. You know, I retired about 15 months ago, but this is the first time that I've been able to watch an NCAA tournament game on a Friday, and I enjoyed every minute of it. And this game was just like our coach used to say, you take the name off the jersey and you watch to see who avoids the turnovers and plays with composure and takes the hard shots and makes them. And that team won. And the longer that went on, the more rattled Ohio State got. Really, the right team won on that game.
Hey, Tex, do me a favor. I'm going to put you on hold for a second. I apologize. I want to finish this conversation, but we have moved around a few things here, and I don't want to keep our next guest waiting. He is Nate Oates, the head basketball coach at Alabama, joining us from Indianapolis. And, Coach, thank you for making the time. I know it has been a busy day. There's a lot we want to talk to you about, but I feel compelled to ask you about what just happened. We've seen the biggest upset in this tournament. I know that your players, you can't keep their eyes off the TV screen, no matter how hard you try, but will you talk to them about what we just saw?
Yeah, I think you have to. I think you got to learn something from it. You know, they didn't make free throws. They gave up too many offensive rebounds. I didn't think they guarded them particularly well. You know, I mean, there's stuff you can learn. This isn't the first time a 15's beat a 2. There's been plenty of others. They got to come with an urgency. The other thing, Ohio State didn't come out of the gate and punch them in the mouth. I think, when you get a 15 seed, they got to know that you're the better team right out of the gate. And if you don't do that and you give them confidence, stuff can go bad like it did today, you know, and then they miss some free throws late, goes to overtime, and they end up losing the game.
Yeah, Coach, it's easy for get some water there. It's easy for us to sit in as laymen and try to understand it, like, you know, this can't happen, but I could see it from the screen. You've been there too many times as an underdog at Buffalo and pulled upsets, and now in a different position. But is there any way to describe the pressure that these young guys have? Because it seems like it's different in the NCAA tournament. I know you just faced it in the SEC tournament down the stretch, but what's it like to help us understand that?
Yeah, I think it's a lot different in the NCAA tournament because the SEC tournament, even if you lose, you still get to play again. You know, we were going to be a 2 or 3 seed, whatever it was in the NCAA tournament. You know, so you lose in the SEC tournament, you still get a chance to play again. Now, if you lose, it's done. It's over. I mean, you think about guys like Herb Jones, John Petty, Alex Reese, Jordan Bruner, they're seniors, and I know they could all come back, but those guys are ready to go make money playing basketball somewhere. Like, this is their last go-around, so there's definitely a little bit more pressure when, if you lose, your season's done. I think that pressure gets you a little bit. When you're the underdog, like we were at Buffalo, you know, I go back to when, you know, the lowest seed we ever had. My first year, we were a 14 seed, played Miami as a 3 seed, and we were up double digits on them in the first half. We were hitting threes, and they were probably playing a little tight, and they, you know, we're playing more loose. You know, I think about when we upset Arizona, we made 15 threes that game. Our guys were playing loose. They had nothing to lose. They were kind of playing with house money at that point. So I think when you are the higher seed, like Ohio State was today, there is a little bit more pressure on it. And it could be that way with our guys. We got to try to get them to not play with that kind of pressure, you know, play hard and loose, understand that if we play focused and hard, like the rest of the stuff will take care of itself.
Yeah, I mean, there's no getting around it. You're the wanted one tomorrow, and that is a position that you want to be in. But it's another thing in the NCAA tournament. How has it gone so far? It just seems so weird to be watching you and everyone else. You know, almost feel like you're locked up, which you are, by the way. But ultimately, to get out there and finally play a game. How has the week gone?
It hasn't been too bad. You know, we got here Sunday night. They gave us our first COVID test. It was after midnight, so I guess early Monday morning. But then we, you know, quarantined to your room individually the rest of the day Monday. We took another COVID test late Monday morning. Once we got those results back, they let us out of quarantine. That was late Monday night. So that first day was a little rough, kind of everybody's just hanging out in their rooms. But you're a little worn out from the SEC tournament, so it wasn't the worst to kind of relax for a minute, watch some tape on Iona. Get yourself together. Then after that, it hasn't been bad. I've only been outside. You know, they gave us you do feel like you're in jail a little bit. You get your 2-hour window to go outside and enjoy Victory Field. But I got a little run in over there. That was a couple days ago. Other than yesterday, we went to Hinkle, getting on and off the bus. I was outside, but that's probably been the hardest part, is not just not being outdoors. Like, you like to get some fresh air and stuff. But as far as the facilities here are great. The practice courts are great. The food's been good. You know, we're being well taken care of. It's some people are trying to make this out like it's not a bad thing. We're fine here.
Well, you are in the NCAA basketball tournament, and there are a lot of folks that would love to trade places. Coaches, as you head into the tonight, it's still your day could be longer tomorrow. You're playing in late in the afternoon, but how do you pace the team? Normally you have a regimen if you're at a hotel, which you are, but this is so different, as you said. How do you keep everybody's wits together for another 24 hours?
Yeah, I mean, our guys are ready to play. They said it in practice today. Like, they're just ready to play games. It's been a week. So I think, you know, we're going to do things like normal. We've got a shoot around in the morning. Won't be at Hinkle. It'll just be in a practice gym, but at least we'll get to shoot around, walk through our stuff. We've got team meal tonight, shoot around in the morning, then we play at 4 here. So we'll get to the gym. You don't get your usual, you know, hour and a half, 2 hours before. You know, it's shorter warm-up time, but we'll get in there. We'll get ready to go, and, you know, we'll get the same warm-up time Iona gets, and we got to play. We just got to come ready right out of the gate. I think our guys will – they will be ready. We're certainly anxious to play a game. We're tired of practicing against each other for the last week. At this point in the season, we've had enough practices against each other. We didn't need a whole week of practice, but that is what we got.
I want to close by asking you about the coach on the other side. Rick Pitino is one of the legendary coaches in college basketball history. And not only that, and you know all this, you know, one of the best coaches at preparation, especially in an NCAA tournament. I'm not trying to ruin your night. You knew this before I said it. But I'm curious your thoughts about facing a Hall of Fame coach.
Yeah, I mean, he's really good. They're always well-prepared. He's got an arsenal of defensive packages to go to. I mean, they change their defenses up here and there. One, I guess better thing, maybe, you know, they were on like a 50-some-day pause with COVID, so they haven't had as much practice time as usually what he would have had, but he's still good. You know, and I've said this before, but, you know, I'm not playing Rick. You know, Herb Jones, John Petty, Jaden Shackelford, you know, our players are playing their players. I mean, they've got good players, Gist and Ross and Joseph, and, you know, they've got good players, but I think we've got better players. If our players come focused, you know, if we get stops and we're out in transition, I told our guys, you know, they got all the different defenses they can come up with, but if we're running off our stops, there's not a whole lot they can do with it. So I think if we get locked into the defensive end of the floor, the players themselves will take care of a lot of the other stuff that you could possibly be worried about going against a Rick Pitino coach team.
And finally, Coach, and you need to take care of that cough. We don't need to lose you tomorrow for the game. But finally, the fun part for fans, and you know all this, is to you know, to fill the brackets out, to get caught up in the mania. As a coach, I know you can shut some of this out, but you are locked up. It's not like you're normally at home for a couple of days and then come up here. I mean, is there a point where you have to tune all that out? Because there's only so many common times you can listen to somebody talk about, you know, your team and being picked to go to the Final Four.
Yeah, I mean, we watched it initially. I mean, you're in a hotel room, so you've got the TV on. I'm trying to watch a lot of video. There's only so many games you can watch of Iona, and it seems like it's a little repetitive. But, you know, you see this person picked them and this person picked that, and saw Charles Barkley picked Alabama. That was great. Yeah, Jay Billis picks us. But, you know, I tell our team, like, we got to control what we can control. We really can't control what other people are picking, choosing, you know, all that other stuff. We got to get ourselves ready to go. So I think our guys have done that. And I mean, you can't tell your players not to turn the TV on. They get the TV on too. So I think it's impossible to block all that out. You can't block it out, but what you can do is focus in on what you can control. We can control our preparation. I think we've had a good week of preparation. Control your effort. You can control your attitude. Control a lot of things. But, even myself, you know, there's games on now. I'm not watching every game. Now, I did watch the Ohio State game, you know, once, not at the beginning. Once it gets close and you can see a 15-2, you know, I'm a fan too. I'm not just a coach, so that's – it's kind of one of those deals. It's why I think this is the best sporting event there is on the planet. You get games like that, and there's upsets, and that's what people are dying for. And, you know, they're to watch, and they got their picks, and their brackets are getting screwed up and this and that. So as a fan, I like to watch a little bit of that. But, you know, I'll get locked in, watch a little bit more tape tonight, and make sure our guys are ready to go and walk through tomorrow.
Coach, you've been great with your time all year. I know it's a high-pressurized situation, but we appreciate it, and we hope to talk again very, very soon. Good luck.
Thanks, Paul. Appreciate you having me on.
It's our pleasure. Coach Nate Oates from Indianapolis, and like everyone else, watching the tournament today, and it's been pretty phenomenal. We'll update you in a few minutes on what Tennessee is up to. They've had a pretty rough first half. I know most people have been watching Ohio State go down. I wonder if Jim Harbaugh could call the Oral Roberts coach for a little bit of advice. We are coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
And we welcome you back and an update from Indianapolis, where the Vols trailed by 14 at half. They're trying to inch their way back into this game, down by 13. They have played woefully, but there's still a long way to go, as the cliche runs, before it's over. Let's get back to the calls. We were talking to Tex out in Washington. Tex, I apologize. We were juggling some things, so let's get back to your call. Thanks for your patience.
No, that's good.
and obviously I agree with everything he said about that game. That, I had one more observation, and listening to the coach, I was thinking about you and I had a little conversation after you interviewed the Oral Roberts football coach and people getting second chances. And I don't know anything about this, the Oral Roberts basketball coach, but when they cut to him and showed him, he was usually kind of squatting down and watching, and he had the most calm demeanor. There was never a wrinkle on his brow and no lines around his eyes where he was concerned. And he just was communicating calmness and confidence to his players. And watching him during the game, I was thinking of a event a year ago with, or 2 years ago with Coach K's team when he had those, I think he had three top 10 picks as freshmen. And they said, you know, coach told us that if you ever feel like you're lacking confidence, look at me and I will communicate to you all the confidence you need. And Coach K does do that. But this guy for Oral Roberts was very similar. And I think that had a lot to do with it. And then I thought about all the nonsense that's gone on in Oral Roberts. And I thought, you know, I don't know who the AD is there, but I would have to think that with the success his football coach and basketball coach has had, he might be on a list of short for candidates at a much larger school.
No, that's a really good point. Well, Tex, thank you for holding on, and let's continue this again. I'm glad you were able to see the game today. Thank you very much. Let's check out John, who is up next. Hey, John.
Hey, Paul, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Paul, I got two things. Nate Oates, I hope that cough don't get any worse, but he is a totally focused basketball coach. I mean, don't you agree?
I think he's one of the most impressive coaches I've ever met and never conferred with. He's just so smart. He's unflappable, and he said he'll be at Alabama for a while. They just locked him down.
Yeah, I heard a 6-year extension. I hope he stays every day of it. Paul, so we start calling the Buckeyes the Buckeyes or the Suckeyes, and I'm waiting here from Jeff.
Yeah, I am too, and I don't, you know, I don't want to kick anybody while they're down, even if they're Ohio State, but I do hope Jeff is able to work us into his busy boasting schedule tonight, because I'm sure he would be all over us if Ohio State had won the game. Hey, thank you for the call. Let's check out Paul, who is up next. Hey, Paul.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
Paul, we're doing great. Thank you.
I wanted to give you a little information about one of the players on Brigham Young. He is from Florence, Alabama. His name is Kareem Thompson.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Sophomore guard there. And he played for the Florence High School Falcons.
I did not realize that. Brigham Young is playing, UCLA tomorrow, are they not? I think they are.
I believe so.
Yeah, well, I'm glad to hear. I'll check him out. I know that area well.
My daughter taught him in school, and my son-in-law coached him at Florence.
Oh, really?
Years back. Yeah, and he's been, our family's real excited about him.
Well, that is fantastic. Well, I will be pulling hard for them, and let's chat again as they advance in the tournament. Again, thank you very much for the call. We're following the Tennessee game throughout this hour. We'll also talk to Adam Rittenberg, who is live at some of these games today. We'll find out what it's like inside from a reporting standpoint and as a fan. More of your phone calls the final hour at 855-242-7285. We have a long way to go. We hope you'll stick around.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.